everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life, hoping to bring you experiences that help you grow. You know, everything that we go through, everything that we see, if we're not fighting it or putting ourselves down, we're learning every minute of every day. And in that learning, we become closer to ourselves and closer to the people around us. Hey, Michael, by the way, our engineer Michael G. Haskins has just swooped in with a smile on his face. Michael, they tell me something happened to you. What happened to you on your way here to the
station?
Well,
it's really interesting, Armand. I was coming in. I came down on Metro North. I got off at Grand Central Station. So I still have a pretty good ways to get down to the radio station.
We're talking 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah, we were talking a good ways. So I'm standing outside. I'm looking for a bank to draw out yet some more money to pay for a cab to get down here. And I see this very, very large RV. It's got this big logo on the side, YouKnew.com on it. And as a matter of fact, there was an article in Forbes magazine or Forbes.com about it today or something like that, the guy was saying. The guy's name was Xavier, and the driver's name was Miles. And he was saying, free rides down to the financial district. Now, being New Yorkers, we, you know, kind of suspect about that. So I said, well, how much does it cost? So he said, exactly how much I said, free. So I said, okay. So I got on, and then this was beautiful laid-out RV. A couple of women got on. Gloria got on, and Maria Monique. They're from the Bronx. They were passengers as well, and we rode all the way downtown. They got off 23rd Street, and another one got off a little further down. These guys took me all the way down to Canal Street. Didn't ask for anything. Just gave me a T-shirt. And didn't say anything about, well, you know, would you? How would they know that I worked, you know, on a radio station? But of course, I started talking about this wonderful radio station WBAI, and I said I would mention their names on the air. So I started not to come in on mine because I wasn't feeling well and didn't want to be bothered with all of this. But had I not come in, I would have missed this wonderful experience that I had this afternoon.
Yeah, I know. You know, and Michael, I'm hearing from more and more people. It's so nice. What was the name of that? What was the name of the company?
It's YouKnew.com. I have
saw
the T-shirt.
It.
You saw
it.
Did you see it really?
Yeah, I did see it.
YOONEW.com.
New guys.
Yep.
Good guys.
They go around the country. I don't know. It's some kind of promotional advertisement with basketball games and football games and so on. And they're advertising something, but they were just trying to help out the community, the entire community of New York, and offering free rides.
It's a nice thing.
It is.
So many times this past few days, I've had to pop in a taxi cab,
yeah,
and I get in with three other people because
right.
You got to have four people cross
mm-hmm.
town. I've been having such a good time.
So
with
have
them.
I, yeah.
Such a good time yeah. talking to the folks and telling the cab driver to turn on WBAI if he hasn't already, but most of them do.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Armand, thank you so much for allowing me to tell this tale on The Positive Mind.
Michael, you've got such
my
a
privilege.
Good heart that you share out there. You know, I think about it all the time, and I think about what a gift it is to have certain people being a part of the above ground experience since the underground has disappeared.
Right.
And everybody's above ground nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, isn't it nice to have Michael G there and have me there and have, you know, Stephanie Damra and the other people I know who go out there and touch people, because we get a chance now to talk to so many more people.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. You're
and if
right.
we have good heart, certainly do put a smile on a lot of people's face.
Thanks a lot, Armand.
Sure. Okay. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I think about sometimes. I think about how beautiful people are when they're not being who they're not. You know, let's get that one. How beautiful people are when they're not being who they're not. You get on a subway, and you're trying to get from one place to the next, And what are you doing with you're trying to make the other people think you're all together, you can't be bothered, don't try to pick my pocket, don't try to squeeze my butt, you know, don't come too close to me, don't interrupt me, don't ask me for money. So you put out this air, and this air says, leave me alone. You know, we come from orangutans. And many, many years ago, our primal ancestors were living up in the trees, and they liked to be alone. This whole idea of community living evolved when there was a need for humans to become, you know, humans were like pretty weak characters. They didn't have many defenses. They had small teeth, they, you know. But when they banded together, they were terrific. I mean, they were great hunters. So before that time, you know, you used to live up in trees and kind of stick alone, except for mating period, you know, because everybody was a competitor for food. Everybody was a competitor for stuff. We sometimes act like those orangutans in the trees. We sometimes isolate ourselves. You put on a set of headphones or your cell phone. You walk around and you tell people, do not bother me. Well, then a situation arises. A situation arises where it says you need other people if you want to get across town. I really love it. You got to have four people. You have to be related to three people on some level if you want to go from one neighborhood to another neighborhood. Now you need people. What an interesting thing. So you come out from under your cell phone, from under your headphones, and you look at somebody and say, do you want to travel with me? And they say, are we going to the same place? And you say, yes, we're going to the same place. And you reach your goal together. And it's such an amazing experience. Because had it not been for this, you'd be under your cell phone. You'd be up in your tree. You'd be hanging out away from people. So I know we have a lot of difficulties here with the whole issue of the strike and what's going on for people, but it's a fabulous opportunity because people are so much more open now than they've been. And for those guys who were lucky enough to find Michael G., what a gift you got. You get Michael coming out of a train, popping on your car, and talking to you. You got yourself a real gift. So that's really nice. You know, so who we are is very nice, I think. I think real people are wonderful. I think if you get people around a campfire or you get people in a setting where they don't feel like they're in danger, and they're terrific. But what they are not, they're not terrific when they're being who they're not. And what that means is when you're acting in a way that makes other people think you're either strong or you're going to fight them off or you're going to bite their head off. When you're being a Scrooge or you're being a grunge, no matter what you're being, or being nasty or looking angry, it's who you're not. Who you are, my friend, is kind. Who you are is human. Who you are is a person who loves other people. Practically everybody I know is. But they hide behind these shells, these masks of toughness and anger and or even pain, you know, sometimes people hide behind the mask of pain. Oh, I'm so hurt. Oh, I'm so, you know, you've got to take care of me. It's another mask. It's who you're not. So who are you is a question. Who are you not is another question. Very often it's hard to discover who am I. You know, everybody says, who am I really? You know, you could write a book about that. Who am I really? Well, it's hard to get the answer. Now, why it's hard to get the answer to who are you really is because if you could feel who you really are, if you could feel it, you'd know it. You know, like maybe when you go on vacation, you're walking along a beach, you put your feet are in the Caribbean somewhere, you know, and you're splashing along the side, and you're walking hand in hand with somebody you care about. You say, ah, this is the real me. And you feel it because everything drops inside you and you recognize a vital, essential you. Who you are not, guy on the subway, fighting off people, trying to wiggle yourself into a seat. That's who you're not, you see. So what we strive for in life is to get away from who we're not and to get more of who we are. If you're really successful, you grow up, you have a family, and you are your real self to your children. And your children have a real dad and a real mom, but it takes a lot of stretching to get there. So the only thing we could do is figure out who are we not and not be who we're not, as opposed to be who we are. If we could eliminate all the knots that we are, and I use that as a K-N-O-T as well, if we take all the knots out of our lives, we'd be who we are. One of the knots that many people are is things that you could say to yourself. Imagine things that you could admit to people and let them know. Imagine if you could admit something to someone you love and say, you know, I'm not really so successful. And they think about you. And you could feel the minute you say it, instead of positioning yourself as a successful person, if you say the truth, I'm not so successful, you feel yourself drop into a zone that's almost real. Here's one that almost everybody could say. You could say to almost everybody around you, you know something? I'm not really grown up. And the minute you say it, when you say, I'm not really grown up, you feel like a child. You feel that truth. Another great one to be able to say to yourself, I'm not that smart. You know, what's this idea about having to be as smart as the geniuses? The geniuses are usually the wackiest people on the planet, right? The ones with the highest IQ. Could you not be that smart? To say, I'm not that smart, is a wonderful relief. Who are you not? Now, when I suggest to you that you discover who you're not, I do not suggest that you say, I'm not as relaxed as I want to be. I'm not as good as I want to be. That's a self-criticism. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the things that you position yourself to be, that you make people believe that you are, that you're not. Right? I can't tell you the number of people I wish would say, I'm not so sexy. You know, I look at the movie stars on television sometimes when they're doing some kind of a review or they're out there and they're throwing themselves around, or the models. And a lot of the models I see are so anorexic that they've lost all sexuality completely. They don't even have their periods anymore. They don't have any hormones running through there. And yet, they're wearing very short miniskirts and looking very sexy and walking along. I'm not so sexy. You know, if you see it, if they could say that to themselves, if they would say it to you and say it to themselves, they would feel relieved because they think it somewhere. What about you? Are you really good? Well, maybe you're not so good. Maybe you get angry. Maybe you're not so nice. You know, maybe you get nasty at times. It's all okay. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, trying to wind up this year with some ways of you taking a look at yourself and for you to see yourself as who you really are, which is not a very bad thing, my friends, because most of you, if I ran into you and we were just sitting together, you'd be beautiful to me. Whole bunch of people come to me, and they come to me for consultations about their mind, and I sit with them and I look at them, and when they get rid of all the stuff that hides them, I see who they really are. They're beautiful. Beautiful. Just like all the folks around you. Just like everybody who you'll pick up. You get in a taxi cab with three people, as hard as it is to afford it, but you go across town and you're forced to be with three other humans. And the four of you are like four kids on your way to some school, you know, and you're suddenly looking at each other, and there they are. You know, they're okay folks. Everybody's okay. Hey. Listen, so that's the beginning of it. We try to change. Who are you not? That's a good question. Who are you? If you were to say to yourself, I would love to confess I am not what? You know, I am not so smart. I am not so sexy. I am not so successful. I am not so what? What would you say? So we're going to take an opportunity and have a few of you call in right now. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. Who are you not? And who would you admit to not being? And let's see how that leads you to who you are. This is very exciting material, my friends. This is one way to grow. It's a new way to grow. And a little later, we're going to talk about resistance, the nature of resistance, and how wonderful resistance is. We'll learn about that, too. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, taking your calls. Hi there. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Welcome to our program.
Thanks so much. I am not so polished and sophisticated.
How wonderful that you could admit that. What's your name? What's
Rachel.
Rachel, isn't that a relief?
It is.
Boy, you spend a lot of time being polished and sophisticated?
Trying
to be.
Yeah. And then sometimes being down on myself because I'm not, like saying to myself, I should be more.
Yeah. Where is the place in the world that you have to be the most polished and sophisticated? In what setting?
Probably in the workplace, I would say.
So tell me about the people around you. Do you think they're all polished and sophisticated?
I don't think they are, no.
Well, who's the most polished and sophisticated person in your workplace?
Most polished, I would say, would probably be the vice president.
What's his initials, her initials?
His initials are MK.
Okay, now MK... If MK is there, and you think about how polished, he's really polished, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever meet his wife?
No.
Hmm. Did you ever meet any of his family?
I have not.
Where do you imagine he lives?
He probably lives, I think, in Westchester, New York.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
What kind of a house do you think he's got?
Probably a nice big house.
Nice big house. How many cars do you think? Two cars? Do you think three kids?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Is he a nice man?
He is.
And do you like him?
I do.
And do you think he likes being himself?
I think he does, yes.
Well, that's where the question is. That's the thing about the polished people. Polished people give you the impression that they like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's very hard to keep this appearance up. He may very well be a very nice person, but the most polished in the neighborhood... usually are not. You know, they usually have a little tiger in their tank somewhere.
I see.
And so you, let me say one more thing about your not being polished. When you become unpolished in the world, do you get rageful ever?
Sometimes, yes.
What's the wildest you could be?
The wildest?
Yep, it doesn't only have to be anger. What's your savage moment?
Savage moment is when I get really cranky, I would say.
And is there any particular time that you get more cranky than any other time?
Probably when I'm overwhelmed, I would say.
Okay, so now, overwhelmed. What's your name, Rachel?
Yes.
Overwhelmed Rachel is cranky, and now she's cranky, and she's trying to be sophisticated at the same time.
Yes.
And this must be a funny picture.
Yes, it is.
That's cute. Well, you keep that image in your mind because that makes you really much more loving of yourself. That you could see the attempt to be sophisticated when you know you're not.
Thanks so much.
It's okay, Rachel.
Happy holiday.
Same to you. 212-209-2900. Unpolished, unsophisticated, or not as sophisticated, not as polished as Rachel. May they only all be that polished. Hi there, you're on the air. Polished is such a funny word, isn't it? Ground down to where, you know, you have no sharp edges. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, how are you?
Good.
I would say I am not that tough. Yeah. Though people think I am.
No kidding, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's wonderful. It seems
well, let's
to be a
talk
little bit
about it
battle.
For a minute. I mean, how tough is tough? They think you're tough. They think you're tough physically?
Sure, yeah, I'm pretty big. I am physically strong, but I just don't have it to be a fighter or a confrontational person.
If somebody comes after you, if somebody came over to you and slapped you in the face, you might cry.
I don't know if I would cry at that point, but I, you know, up to the point where they would physically do something to me, I would absolutely avoid it and then battle with myself later.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Battle with yourself because you're going to say to yourself, what kind of a, you're supposed to be strong, you're supposed to be nasty. But you see, you're like the rest of us. What's your name?
Ralph,
you're a kid.
Yeah.
And kids don't like to be too big and don't like to be too strong all the time. They just want to play. They just want to relax. They just want to be loved.
But it seems to be such a thing where, especially like in a type of workplace that I'm in, where it's like everybody sort of tries to one-up the next person that way. And it's like if you're not on that particular tier, you're sort of looked down on. So even if you're not on the tier, you have to pretend you are.
Well, I know you have to pretend you are. I know there's that thing about having to pretend. And the people who aren't, what are they considered, sissies?
Well, you would never really know who isn't because everybody sort of pretends that they are on that level.
Everybody
you know?
Plays the same game, like a bunch of kids playing high school.
It's unbelievable for adults to be doing that.
And what's the professional setting that they do this in? Don't tell me you're all wrestlers.
No. But then, believe it or not, that's how people prove how tough they are. They arm wrestle. It's sort of like, I guess you'd call it like a plumbing industry.
Sure. So you get in that industry. That's a very masculine industry. We're screwing the pipes. I mean, you know, we're getting this all to work. We're going to do fittings. We're going to do, you know, oil. And we work with things like that. We have this masculine smell. There's lots of sweat. It's guys being guys.
Yep. And a bunch of blue-collar workers.
And every one of us in that industry, every one of us would love to be held by somebody who would just stroke our heads.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Just make you melt away. You got somebody in your life who does that?
Make me melt away?
Yeah, you got somebody in your life who strokes your head and says, it's okay, you don't have to be so tough.
You want to know, I don't really think that I do. Maybe, I mean, the closest I would even come to that would be my mom, and she has no idea that, you know, I, if you want to put it this way, live this way.
Yeah.
You know, she has no idea that. I don't think my wife could fall into that category because she likes tough guys, you know. So
what would happen if you ever let her know who you really were, if you went there and said, you know, honey, I know you like tough guys. I'm not one of them.
I mean, I think she would accept it, but, that's hard to say because it's sort of the thing of like where you just never, you know, you're playing like the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. I've always got the fists up. I've always got the guard up. You know, where I am, you can't let it down. You know.
But, Ralph, if you met me, I'm a big guy also, right?
We have met.
Oh, we have men. Oh, that's the Ralph you are. Good.
That's the Ralph I am.
That's the Ralph you are. The very, very Ralph. Well, Ralph. You didn't have to be tough with me.
No, I didn't. Nope. That's for sure.
So what you're saying, it's set and setting. That if you're in a different setting, you come down. So this is a practice you've got to give yourself. You've got to give yourself the practice to be not who you're not more often. And if that involves nature, if that involves getting out there, if that involves being a volunteer, if that involves doing something that is just considered soft, all on your own, not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's kind of the only way that I really do what you're talking about. I mean, you know, what you said, if it's listening to music or being out in nature, there is a friend, one single friend that I can think of that I could be that way with. I can tell him, you know, my soft side, so to speak, and he wouldn't judge me on it.
I hear your task, and I hear what you're striving for. I wish you a lot of luck. Because, you know, the more of the not you that you shed, the more of you that emerges.
Well, the more of the not me that I spend time doing, the better I feel, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Have a nice holiday, Omar.
You too, Ralph. 212-209-2900. A couple more calls that we're going to talk about resistance. And we may get an interim break here just to let you know the way WBAI in its own preciousness is currently positioned. If news about the subway strike suddenly pops on us, we're going to interrupt our program to bring you that news because it affects so many people. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Yeah, one thing I'd like people to know about me is that I am not as tough as I seem to be.
You're not as tough either, huh? You and Ralph here.
Right.
Could you turn your radio all the way down?
It is all the way down.
No, I think I still hear it on. Maybe I'll shut it off.
Okay, is that better?
Much better.
Okay, good.
So what's your name?
My name is Florence.
Florence, let me ask you something. Where do people see you as tough as you are? In what setting? I mean, does everybody in your building think you're tough?
Yep. That's everybody on my job before I retired thought I was tough. And everybody likes me. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
But my toughness is a result of fear.
A result of what?
Fear.
Fear, sure. Sure, everybody's toughness is a result of fear.
Right.
What do you think? There's toughness not that doesn't come from fear?
Yeah, well, that's true. I know that. But during World War II, my father was in the Army. My mother was in the hospital with tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. I was 6 years old, and I was one of the few black children placed in a Catholic orphanage.
Mm.
And 1 year in that orphanage was enough to last me a lifetime. I had to fight for my life emotionally, almost physically, every day. And I just learned how, between myself, and thank God I had a big sister and a big brother, I learned how to survive out here.
So Florence is not so tough, even though the way you survived was to look tough, to act tough, to sound tough, to behave tough, and we all know you're a mushpot.
That's right.
You're a soft-hearted mushpot.
Yeah.
That you're tender on the inside, that you've got real tears that come out when you see something sad, and that you love the people around you.
Yeah, well, the people around me love. I think that is my greatest gift. If I, anybody asks me what my greatest blessing is, I would have to say I have the best friends on this earth.
Well,
they stuck with me when I was going through therapy, and I was beginning to express my hostilities and whatnot. Some of them told me, my best friend told me, she said, I love you, but I don't like you, because I was learning how to say no. But now I have to say this, I have never been happier in my life.
Hmm. Yeah, that was quite a battle, wasn't it?
It was a hell of a battle, and most people don't survive it.
Yeah. Well, right. I tell you, Florence, you're not so tough, and I'm glad. And if push ever came to shove, if we had to be in some kind of a battle, you'd be the one who would stand up, and I'm sure everybody could lean on you.
Yeah,
but
well,
there's something about you having so many friends, and having friends that love you so deeply, that say to me, no matter how tough you've ever been, you've always had a velvet glove, that somewhere everybody knew that you had a heart of gold, which is just terrific.
Well, I tell you, your program, because I've listened to you from the time you were on. I've listened to BAI almost from the first.
Mm, so you 17 years.
I've gotten so much from your program and from other programs, but I listen to you religiously. And I think that you do a wonderful, wonderful service. And if this is a plug for people sending in their money, then it's a plug. Send in your money. You're not going to get it anyplace else.
Oh, Florence, you're so sweet. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
And the same to you.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Bye.
Florence, what a group. What a group of people. What an honor. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, a little special music for you. Some Cuban classical music. Very, very special. Then we'll come back and we're going to talk about the nature of resistance. A fascinating subject.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. And this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. Please call and support WBAI, Non-Commercial Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here.
Here we go.
WBAI, New York.
may think you're recognizing the piano quintet in A minor. You may think you're recognizing that. You are. With a little classic meets Cuba. Cuba percussion. I could just see Michael bopping up in the studio there. Whew. Hey, Michael, I hope you're feeling better, by the way.
Just a little bit. I'm trying to look at the breaking news that's coming in across the wire.
Yeah,
as well as
pretty good, eh?
Yeah. Looking at, as well as listening to this great music.
Yeah. Want to mention a little about what you're seeing on the breaking news?
It
looks like possible resolve.
Possible resolve. We're waiting for the executive council to come back with their decision. So it looks like it. We may see an end to this.
They may all need to dance.
Yeah. Very good.
Maybe you'll be able to make that trip on Friday with ease. That's what we're seeing here, but we'll be getting you much more accurate stuff. Change is not easy, my friends. Change is not easy. Here's how change takes place. I want you to imagine that at some point you feel unhappy with what is. Now, you could be unhappy because things got bad, or you could be unhappy because things seem stagnant. If things seem stagnant, then that's bad. Because you feel, you know, it's like pools of blood, you know. It's just like, yeah, what are we doing? It's the same old stuff. Or things get actually bad. Something gets broken. You feel bad because you broke up a relationship. You said, oh, here it goes again. So now, how do we change? How do we become different folks than the folks we are? We either have a choice. See, when we are unhappy about who we are, we have one of two choices. We either want to firm up who we are and become more like that. So let's say you're a neurotic worrier, and you're so worried all the time, and then something breaks through it, and somebody you love leaves you because you worry too much. What do? You say, I'm either going to become more efficient at worrying, or I'm going to change. Let's say that you're somebody who's always a victim, right? You're going to, when you say, I want to change, you're going to make yourself more of a victim, or you're going to change. You're going to say, the reason I'm not happy is because of them, or you're going to do something different. When we are unhappy, we tend to either go back to who we are and try to make it more solid, or we try to actually change. People very often come into therapy, and they come into therapy wanting to be what they used to be. They used to say, oh, I used to be so happy. But they lived in a fantasy. So they want to go back to a fantasy. Let's say somebody who falls in love all the time with people who are, not nice. So you fall in love with not nice people, but you have these great fantasies, and you come into therapy and you say, I want to be able to have those fantasies. No. That's one thing you could do. You could live more and more in a fantasy, or you could change. Maybe see what it's like without the fantasy. See what there is instead of the fantasy. So this is the question about change. Do you mean when you're unhappy with something, do you want to go back to being what you used to be, which led you to where you are, or do you want to become something new? That leads us to what we were talking about before, not, giving up who you're not. Giving up this idea of, constantly doing over and over again things that you know are not true about yourself. Okay, let's say that you opt for change. and you say, I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. Now, every time you change, something happens. Very, very important. You start to change and you feel a resistance to that change. Now, this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about that resistance. Resistance. Let me read you this. Resistance to change is in no way a conflict with evolving. It is an indispensable force in keeping a system stable. That's a quote from the continuum concept. It means the following. If you don't have resistance, you don't have effective change. You don't evolve. So let's say, for example, you go on a diet. And you go on a diet, and let's say you're a classically 130-pound person who wants to be 110 pounds. And so you go on a diet, and you get from 130, you get down to 120. At 120, something happens. You can't seem to lose another ounce. Your body puts up a resistance. You resist. You feel this resistance. So you don't know what to do. You feel this resistance, and you say, oh, it's really terrible. You could find that no matter what you do, you can't lose any more weight. They call it a plateau. A point at which your body practically fights going any lower. You get angry. You go have pizza. Or you starve yourself to the next plateau. You drop yourself. You refuse to eat another morsel. And you get down to 110 pounds really quick, and you're proud of yourself, and then you, boom, you come out of it, and you catapult past 120, right back to 130. Because the resistance was not dealt with. You have to deal with the resistance in a different way. Resistance, it is a treasure. It's a precious element of change. If you embrace resistance, if you see your resistance point and you look at it differently and you don't put yourself down for it, you're going to change in a very positive way. Therapists have this terrible habit of accusing patients of resisting. A patient goes to see a therapist and the patient says to the therapist, you know, I want to be kinder to my children, but I keep finding myself yelling at them. And the therapist says, that's because you're resisting, and resisting is a bad thing, so you got to stop resisting, so the person feels bad. Or a person goes to therapy, and they learn a little bit about themselves, and they say, I didn't feel like coming in today, and the therapist says, that's because you're resisting, and that's a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. That's because you're resisting, and resisting is a wonderful thing. Resistance is the prelude to growth. It's the thing that makes the growth happen. Did you ever make, what do they call those muffins? Those things that boil up. Oh, muffins. If you ever make muffins, you know the muffins that just crack on the top, and when they crack on the top, they're perfect, or a souffle. You watch it grow. It's got to have a resistance. It has to have something holding it in place. Otherwise, it would just boil right out of the, I hope this metaphor works. Out of the souffle dish, or the muffin dish. I know, I could see it cooking now. You could see things that swell up, and they swell up, and they swell up. Like a chicken pot pie, you know, the outer skin holds it in place. That's the resistance. The resistance is an essential part of change. Now, if you welcome your resistance rather than hating it, you will grow a lot better. If your therapist doesn't honor your resistance, fire them. Now, let's say you're exercising, and you're doing push-ups, and you do 3 reps of 15 push-ups each. That's a lot, huh? All right, you do 3 reps. After you do your 3rd rep, your 45th push-up, you can't do another push-up because the resistance sets in. Your muscles say, we are going to tear ourselves to shreds if we go 1 ounce further. We're going to stop, and we're going to stop you. You can't do anymore. So what do? You acknowledge your resistance. If you try to push past it, you're going to get so sore you'll never do it again. So what you do is you acknowledge your resistance and you adjust your push-up. Maybe you do it with knees on the ground. Maybe you drop your knees on the ground and you do the push-up on your knees, and you do 5 reps that way. Now you're welcoming the resistance because you're saying, I'm at the heat peak of my growth point here. You welcome in the resistance and you include the resistance, and now you'll find you can do more push-ups. Because you needed to embrace the resistance. You're tired. You try to work. You start falling asleep at work. Did you ever feel that? You just, I can't go another step. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to try to get past this 5 o'clock deadline to get to work. I just can't do it anymore. You're tired. Your body feels the resistance. If you acknowledge the tiredness, if you acknowledge the resistance, you'll let yourself close your eyes for a few minutes. It's amazing. Once you give into it, you wake up again. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Resistance is a valuable thing. I want you to think about resistance because you were thinking about strikes going on and then there being a resistance there, right? Who's resisting? Everybody's resisting. To resist is to fend off, to stand firm. This is dictionary. To oppose actively, to refuse to cooperate, to keep from yielding. These are called resistance. Now, how could that be good? Well, because you stand firm until you're ready to yield. You oppose actively until you get cooperation. To resist, to combat, to contest, to dispute, to duel, to fight, to oppose, to repel. You see, the idea is to withstand the next step until you're ready to take it. The opposite of resistance, or when you remove resistance, if you can imagine there's a wall and you're standing over here, where you want to go is standing over there, and there's a wall of resistance between you. Right on the other side of the wall is capitulation, surrender, yielding, submission. You give in. So let's say there's somebody you love, and you just can't let yourself love them completely. And you just won't give in. And you love them. But you won't give in. You fight it off. I saw a man today, this morning I was waiting. 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a man who sleeps in the lobby of my building. Because he's getting on in years. And I said to him, I said, Lou, what about all those people who you used to date? And he said, oh, so many of them wanted to get married. He says, and I just didn't want to get married. And he says, I don't want to get married. I don't want anybody interrupting me. And that's who Lou is. Lou is a guy who is resisting to his dying day love. He won't let it in. Let nobody that close to me. Well, that's okay. Because if you're resisting love, then that means you've been very wounded. And that means with somebody's patience, you know, you're going to eventually do it, but you've got to acknowledge your resistance. You've got to not see it as there's something wrong with everybody. You have to see it as your resistance to love. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. I'm giving you a strong lesson in psychology, even though the terms make a lot of sense. We're looking at the nature of resistance, and the idea here is to embrace resistance as part of your growth process. Just like you do when you work out physically, you've got to take emotional resistance, acknowledge it, don't believe it. Don't say, because I resist, therefore I shouldn't go there. Just say, because I resist, I think I'll pause for a while. Let's take more of your calls, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. If you don't understand it all, you can get a copy of today's program by going to the website, thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org, and you will hear a rebroadcast of it today. And if you can't do that or don't want to do that, you can call my office and get a copy of it at 212-757-4488. But let's take one of your calls, 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900, about you, the nature of your resistance, just your nature. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille, you're on the air.
How you doing, Armand?
Good.
That's really amazing. It just lit me up when you said that. It was incredible. The key to me was when you said, acknowledge your resistance. When you said, acknowledge your resistance, that was amazing.
Yep, so tell me about yours.
Mine is in the area of finances. Most of my life, I've been very irresponsible and immature around finances. And, you know, it's an ongoing struggle for me. I'm getting there. I'm getting closer. I'm ready. You know, I've gotten much better around it. But what you said was really huge for me because, you know, instead of seeing that persistence as the enemy, to acknowledge it, it puts it in a different perspective.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And, in fact, let me help you acknowledge it a little bit. There's this thing about growing up and being responsible that we don't want to yield to. You know what I mean? I mean, that whole idea of having to save money and position yourself in a certain kind of way, yes, you've resisted it. You've resisted it because you've had to keep moving.
Yeah.
Now, you must be a guy who's been moving all his life, a fast shuffler, a target, you know, not a target for anybody. You're just going to move out of the way, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's funny.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
In your 47 years, you have lived more than most people live in 150 years.
That's for sure.
You've had a lot of experiences. You've tasted a lot of goodies. You've been to a lot of places. You have enviable experiences. But now some part of you says, all right, enough. I'm done with that.
Reality.
Well, it's not just reality because you can keep living the other way.
Yeah.
You can keep doing it.
It's not going to work.
That's the trouble. You're saying to yourself, this isn't working. What's your name, by the way?
Tony.
So, Tony, it's really nice. I'm glad you could accept it and see the resistance because it's natural, you know?
Yeah.
And, in fact, actually to be celebrated.
Yeah, actually, and I think, like you said, just to go to the next step, it's amazing, you know, to acknowledge it, to acknowledge the resistance.
Yeah. Have you put $10 in a savings account yet?
Yes and no. It's a long story, but I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting there.
I'm sure. I know exactly what it means, and because it's one of the big steps. It's really interesting to watch yourself putting money in a savings account. You could watch your hand get paralyzed while you do it. It's phenomenal.
You know what's funny too? That is one thing to get to the point where you're ready to be some, you know, to make amends for whatever. In whatever area you want in your life, but then life's not ready, you know? Like, let's say you want a new love in your life, or for me, a new organization around finance, but now I gotta wait to get that opportunity, you know? So, you get what I'm saying?
Sure, I know. Sure, absolutely.
No. I'm ready, but now I gotta pay the price. Now I'm ready, but I gotta wait, you know? For another opportunity.
And it's, while you're waiting, just notice everything that happens around you, because you're kind of an amazing guy.
Thank you so much
for calling in, Tony.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Time for one more call. Very interesting stuff. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah,
hello.
This is Leora.
Hello, Leora.
Hello.
Leora, you have your radio on.
Armin, this is Leora.
Hello, Leora. We got just about a minute.
All right. My thinking about resistance is I see resistance as creating wiring inside you. And the key thing is I think the most important reality is that when you do want to change, it's how much you really want it more than anything, but and also to expect this discomfort, because there is the law of least effort. The body wants the old way. It's lazy. It doesn't want to change. The key thing is, Leora, how much do you want it more than anything in the world?
The law of least resistance. You're certainly right, Leora. And thank you. Thank you for that lesson, because I know you've gone far learning about yourself. And thank you for calling in. This is Armand DeMille. You know, it's time. We got to get going. And I'm hoping that we could get clear of this thing. But before we get clear, you know, even though we'd like to get done with this strike, I say to you all, get the benefits of it. Look at the beauty of it. Look at what's happened out there. Look at what's happening. Not only the people with each other, not only the union with the city, but the people have come above ground. And there's something very beautiful in the essence of this. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. To all of you who are celebrating a holiday at this time, my best wishes to you. Be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. if you want to. ThePositiveMind.com is the website. Or you can send me an email, Armand@brainlink.com. Bye-bye for now.